Hello, welcome to Slim World Podcast. I'm Claire.
I'm Anna.
Yeah, and we are delighted to catch up with you before the craziness of Christmas begins. Anna, are you feeling like you're prepped, you're ready?
I'm festive, everything's wrapped, sorted, and I'm raring to go.
Well, we are in my kitchen, aren't we? So the Christmas tree is behind us. We've got fairy lights. I mean, I'm getting in the mood, right? I've even got a few Christmas presents under the tree.
Feeling festive.
Now, if you are new to the podcast, then hello. We're doing a special little series at the moment, aren't we? Where we're giving people the option to either film it or watch it or listen to it. We do the filming, you do the watching. So you can watch this on the Slimming World YouTube channel. People can listen to it on the members app or Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And it's going to be like that for the next few weeks. We are kind of doing a bit of a reset, I suppose.
Yeah,
the right phrase?
We're going back. We're having a look. We're remembering. We're delving deep back into our weight losses and what it feels like. And yeah, I'm going to be sharing with you a few inside hints and tips as well.
Yeah, there's a new kind of discussion point, which is going to be coming up within groups and around some of the Slimming World blogs and videos that you're going to see. And the title of it is Feel Real Good. Mm. And guess what we call today's episode?
Feel Real Good.
Yeah. We've even got t-shirts with them, you know. We've now gone upper scale because we now have branded t-shirts. But this idea about feeling real good and feeling real good, like on the inside as well as on the out. It's that feeling of not just looking good, but, you know, I don't know, in what's going on inside that sometimes people don't often think about.
It's that kind of inner confidence, that inner happiness, that inner, actually, do you know what? I'm accepted as me. This is who I am. And that, how you have to create that through a kind of weight loss journey, don't you? It's not just the outside new version, but it's how you maybe change and how you want to feel and be accepted. I remember very profoundly feeling lots of internal changes along the journey.
Yeah. The next few weeks, actually, we're going to delve into this theme about real a little bit more. So we're talking about real food. We're talking about real support, real results. And we're going to be sprinkling in some of your experiences too. But I kind of realised the other day, Anna, that we probably have lots of people who watch or listen to these podcasts who actually don't know
who the heck we are
about our journey as well. I mean, why don't you start with yours? Because, you know,
gosh,
where do you begin?
It makes me realise how old I am when we go back in. You know, I struggled with my weight all my life, all my childhood, and I came from a very overweight family. You know, I first got taken into a weight loss group when I was about 12, if my memory serves me right. But I'd always struggled. I remember at ballet being called the fat one by the teacher and not being able to fit in the tutu and all those kind of things that you never want to feel at any age, let alone as a child. And I guess as the teenage years progressed and hormones changed, my weight went up and down. But it was really when I went to university that for me, oh gosh, the beer drinking, curry eating really, really made the weight pile on. And I think, you know, uni was such an exciting time, but I almost lost myself in the party scene, in the copious amounts of alcoholic beverages and consumption of things like curries and pies. And I remember a friend of mine said, let's go to Slimming World. And I remember because I'd been as a young adult with my mum. I remember being in a group in 1999. God. But I remember really just feeling like I needed to do something, because if I didn't do something, I was not going to be happy. Yes, I was having fun, but I was very good at masking the sadness inside with the big smile. You know, I'm loud, aren't I? I can be the centre of the party, but it was hiding so much pain. And so I joined Slimming World, ready for my graduation, actually. And I'll never forget this, because I lost 4.5 stone in 8.5 months. It was incredible what happened to me. And I got into my size 10 zip-up Topshop dress. There was no lycra in that dress. And I remember feeling utterly, utterly fantastic, like physically, but also psychologically. That burden that comes with being overweight and being overweight for a long time is huge, from the clothes that you choose to the places you go to scouring the room for, has that seat got arms on it? You know, am I the biggest person in the room? To feeling so fabulous. But I remember the resounding thing was I never missed out. I'd still kind of gone drinking with my mates. I'd still eaten. I mean, like for me, pasta was my go-to and is my go-to. But as a student, being able to eat those massive portions of food that was inexpensive and really freeing. And I lost all that weight. And like many of us, it's happened, I didn't make the long-term change that enabled me to keep my weight off. And what happened to me was over a series of years, I gained all that weight back and more. And in 2009, I had quite a serious spinal injury on a trampoline. And what that rendered me was basically bedbound, giving up my career. It was almost 2.5 years I was off work. And I had to have spinal reconstruction back in 2011. And my BMI was so high that to have the serious operation that it was just wasn't feasible. So I came back and I'd always dipped in and out in that time of Slimming World, but I'd never fully committed because actually that fear, I don't know if you've ever felt it, I think you have, of when you know you've got to make change and that change isn't something that you sitting well with you. I really never fully committed, but I decided to commit because I wanted to have surgery. I wanted to change my life. And so I came back and I lost all my weight and more again. And I was looking back the other day, just thinking, when we're looking at before and after pictures, my weight loss journey has been going on for so long. It started before phones. It started before digital cameras. It started, you know, with cameras that you'd have to get the film developed from. So yeah, now I sit here, a nearly 44-year-old woman, that I was looking back and I've kept this weight off since 2011 with being pregnant, with everything that life involved in that happened. And now I've kind of been at that same weight, even through pregnancy since 2011. So it's been a very long journey. It's been a journey that has been so joyous, but so complicated and so many ups and downs. And I think, you know, I've been really honest about, I've joined over 20 times and I really had to understand that to lose weight and more importantly, keep it off, I had to make a very firm long-term commitment to change and also seek support. So I sit here still a work in progress. It is something that I spend time and energy devoted to because it is so important to me to be healthy, to be a really great role model for my little girl, but also to enjoy my life. And I know that I enjoy my life a million times more being at a healthy weight than I did when I was back a size 22.
I mean, you've got some of your photos here. Do you want to hold a couple of those up to the camera? We'll share these on social media. Talk us through where you are in this photo, what you see.
My beloved husband just got out of this photo.
Oh.
No, for a reason, because I didn't think it's fair to share him when he maybe doesn't know he's being shared. But I remember this being such a painful day. It was my friend's wedding. And this dress had split up the side at the wedding. And I had white, skin-coloured Spanx on. And you could just see the side of my Spanx. And I just remember my husband cuddling me here. And I was like, hold my Spanx in. So this picture, I've got a big smile. But I had just been crying in the toilets. I literally, this dress that was my biggest had split. I can just see in my face how much sadness. And I remember I only had this dress on because it was the only one that fitted. And it was such a beautiful wedding. But all I remember of that is the dress splitting and my skin-coloured Spanx showing. And Phil then having to take off his jacket to put that over me. So that's a painful picture, but also a picture where I look at actually how far I've come from that. And now the smile is kind of real. I've also got this one, another one where I've cut my poor husband out of. And I remember this is a fancy dress party. And I'm actually here as J-Lo. I know I look nothing like J-Lo. How embarrassing is that? But let me explain to you why I went as J-Lo. Because it was a tracksuit. And it was when velour tracksuits were in, that's how long ago this picture was. And the reason I went as J-Lo is because it was the only thing I fitted into. And I didn't want to get a costume and I didn't want to have to show my body. So I literally am wearing this velour tracksuit that is elastic. But even the elastic was so tight that I remember taking this off and having those trench marks when something's been too tight. And I just remember at that party just being so sad because there were so many beautiful, glamorous girls there. And I'm there dressed as this fake J-Lo because all I could fit into was a cheap velour tracksuit. So that was a very poignant photo.
I mean, it doesn't really even look like you.
With cheeks. I get hamster cheeks when I get overweight and 46 chins in that picture. But this is the one where I feel quite sad about, because this is, we're in the Burj in Dubai, and we've been on this incredible, incredible holiday. And I just remember another outfit, that I'm in this outfit because it fitted, not because I wanted it. And I just remember it took me near on 2 hours to get dressed, because I'd had those, that fit, you know, where you have when you struggle with your weight, where I tried everything on and nothing felt good, and I was crying and I was hot, you know, it's 35 degrees. And I just remember saying to Phil, cancel it, I'm not going. And he's like, but we've booked afternoon tea at the Burj, you've always wanted to do this. And so I just remember I'd been crying in the toilets again in this photo at how sad I was at my weight. And we actually got engaged six days, I want to say, after this. And I just remember feeling so sad at that time because of my weight. So they're very poignant pictures that tell a very big story. Now I'm happy.
Oh, I mean, thank you for sharing. I obviously, I've only known you as you are today.
Yeah.
I didn't know. You've never showed those photos with me. And this is like 6 years into the podcast.
Yeah. Because I think for me, they're very painful. They're very... it's taken a long time to accept who I was and how I felt about myself. And I think now I'm in my mid 40s, I've got to a place of acceptance where I thank that Anna, because actually she's brought me to the place I am now and I'm really happy. But I just remember life feeling so sad, life feeling so tough, life feeling like I was being controlled, not I was controlling it, and how food was out of control. My eating was off the scale, eating when I was happy, when I was sad, when I was bored, binge eating, but drinking. And I look at them now thinking, I'm so glad I made that change. But like we hear a lot, I really, really wish I'd sorted it out earlier. I really wish, if I could go back to that Anna who lost all that weight for graduation, I wish I'd listened to myself and kept going. So it's a process, isn't it, of forgiveness and kind of understanding what got you to where you are now, because I feel I'm privileged now to have gone through that. I actually now can share my experience and help other people, having been through all those trials and tribulations of losing the weight, putting it back on, and then living the life of maintaining it.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about sharing with other people because, you know, you're a consultant of many years' experience, so you're sharing that with your group members, but also your daughter as well.
Yeah,
and you know, the conversations you have with her.
Yeah, I think that's been a massive turning point, is how food was used in my childhood, and we've talked about this at length, and how I never want that for her. I want her to have such a beautiful relationship with food, that it's not forbidden, it's not longed after, it's not good, it's not bad. And I think that's what I've really wanted to teach her, like actually about good nutritious food, about how to cook and how to structure a meal, but also that mummy loves herself, mummy's accepting in her skin, and no matter how many lumps and bumps mummy's got, it's okay. And to have that self-love, because I think I had such self-hatred, I never want her to experience those feelings. So from a very young age, I've really tried to educate her and not kind of feel things are treats or goods or bad. So she understands that food is fuel, not fuel for your emotions, which it you know, was for me. I come from a family where we're all overweight and we would eat and eat and eat rather than deal with the pain. So it's a very profound journey when you become a parent and realizing how your hang-ups transfer over to them. So you've got to be very wise about it.
And that, I think for me, the idea with Slimming World, it is, I felt like it was almost like an education.
Definitely.
In an understanding of the role of food and nutrition and understanding what it is and what it does in a way that perhaps I hadn't had before.
Well, unless you've got a family that maybe cooks and scratch and does all of that, you don't learn it in school. You don't learn it if it's not in your household. So for a lot of us, it was learning all that how food works, how you can nourish yourself, how the emotion plays a part. And I think for me, where it really came into its own was understanding the psychology of how I was likely to behave, and understanding how food played such a massive part in that.
Well, this word real, I think, is quite a fascinating one, because it can be really difficult to know what to believe with the messages that we receive across like the industry of health and fitness.
So conflicting.
You know, you could read the same paper in 1 week and they'd have conflicting messages.
Yeah.
We're told, you know, about like this kind of diet mentality of need to lose weight, lose weight quick. You know, it's all about just getting it done, and yet we're bombarded, especially at this time of year, with messages of gather everyone around and eat and be merry and...
But eat so much and eat to, till you feel unwell. And it's so confusing. It's so confusing as an adult. It's so confusing as a young adult. And I think so many mixed messages, like you say, and you said something about that, I just want to get it done and do it quick. I think that's where I'd never been able to get a grip until I was much older, that actually it's not about the quick fix. It's about that process, that journey, the changing of habits. Once you lift that burden of wanting it done by next Friday, it's quite a liberating feeling to know actually the choices I'm making are much greater than just the scales. They're much greater than what dress size I wear. They're about me inside and out. Actually, that's a very big motivator too, isn't it? But it's being able to decipher the correct messages from all the rubbish that's out there, and can be so, so overwhelming, but also so distracting at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. This idea about, you know, the results and celebrating the journey and not just the result. I'd say if there was one phrase or one sentence that would sum up my journey, that's it.
Yes, 100%. Because it's about that freeing yourself in so many different ways, isn't it? And I, you know, I've had the pleasure of watching your journey, and it has been a spectacular one. And you've been through some serious ups and some serious downs in that kind of last 6 years that I've known you, and a lot of people just see you as you now, but that wasn't the lady that walked into my group, was it?
No way. It was funny when I was prepping, you know, getting some of my photos, and I've got some clothes here as well to show, and my certificates actually. I think I joined them well 2012. But I was always someone who've worked quite a haphazard life. So shifts, you know, move different places. I didn't live in a house for more than a year for 19 years. I've travelled and worked all over the world. Life was just quite crazy and a bit erratic. My lifestyle was. And, you know, sometimes I would be really on it and sometimes I wouldn't be.
Yeah.
My mental health was up and down. And I actually saw a banner. I was walking the streets one day. I just moved to a new city and moved to Manchester. I was walking the streets and I saw this banner outside this church. And I thought, oh, Slimming World. And it looked really friendly and talked about support and, you know, eating all the food that you love. And I thought, I'll just turn up on Monday. And I remember my first group, you know, in this cold church hall, but it was warm and filled with lovely people. And I joined the same night as two of the people. And I really enjoyed that understanding, because I'll be honest, when I joined them all initially, I didn't know how to cook, really.
No, and so many people don't. But where do you learn that? Unless you see that at home, you don't learn that, do you? We're not like past generations who were taught to cook.
No, I definitely think I think what did I eat? But you the way that the world is these days, you can order everything quickly on an app.
You
can rely on takeouts. I was someone who had a couple of pounds change, I'd be going and getting a chippy on the way home because it was quick and it was easy. And as someone who was single and, you know, just cooked for myself, that was just a lot easier than actually working out how to cook. I don't think I ever owned a recipe book until I was about 30. But anyway, I made up
for it now.
I joined Slim World, and over that period I lost 3.5 stone. And I really started to feel like that understanding was there. But once again, life changed, my shift changed, I moved home, and I got out the sink. And I battled with trying to handle it myself.
Yeah, I did.
Thinking that, I've made all these changes, but it just didn't work. And over the course of 2 years, my health took a real downturn. I got to the point where I'd actually put the 3 stone back on, and also another 3 stone.
Yeah, you never come back lighter. I didn't,
But I was in a trap where I really started to question myself. I was struggling with, I guess it was like addictive behaviour. I wasn't fueling and eating properly. I would either eat too much or nothing at all. I was managing emotions, if I'm honest, using alcohol.
Yeah, I was.
I wasn't really like moving, and I was losing my sight. I was going on more and more antidepressants. I felt truly awful. You know, my period stopped as well. I mean, that's a sign that your body is not happy.
Exactly.
And I was just in such a bad place. And eventually, it was a therapist who said to me, you know, you could leave this job it's not really working for you. Yeah. And I'd been a journalist for a number of years. And I think what had happened was the sadness and the grief that I'd been carrying through lots of things that had happened in my life had almost got to, like, you know, when you get a load of elastic bands and it's such a big ball and you don't know where to start to unpick them. It just got to that. And I walked away from a career with nothing to go to. But that year, I knew I needed to make a change because I felt that if I didn't make a change, then the only way for me would ultimately be to be down and potential I could die.
Yeah.
My health felt so difficult. And I remember, you know, writing in my diaries at the time. I looked at them a few years ago, but I threw them out because they were too painful.
Oh, well,
but they were really, you know, I was frustrated with myself. Why can't you do this? Why can't you fix this? I was mean, Claire, you know? And it took, you know, I went through Christmas that year and I was still battling with, I want to sort this out, but I don't know what to do. And I went to a voiceover studio, actually, because I, you know, work in radio and podcasts and things by day as well. And somebody took a photo of me in this voiceover booth.
Yes.
And I saw this photo, and before I put it out on social media, I actually photoshopped it. And I remember feeling the shame that I felt with that photo. I don't have the photo anymore because I got rid of it.
Yeah.
But it was the only 2 weeks later, it was January 2017, that I walked through your doors to be a member of your group. You were on holiday at the time.
I was in New York for my birthday and you joined. And I thought, oh my God, I haven't even given her the new member talk, but you went good hands. So
yeah. There was something about when I made that commitment for that journey that was different from previously.
Huge, yeah.
The thing that I actually did that was different was I made that commitment to myself that no matter what, I would get to group every single week.
You did.
I could not control all the other ups and downs and the hecticness of life. But no matter where I was, and sometimes I'd be working in Bristol, in London for weeks at a time, but I'd always get to a group. And I think that commitment to just tackle it 1 week at a time.
Took the pressure.
In that year, I lost 4 stone, didn't I?
I've still got such clear visions of you be coming in and you'd be like, where have you been? You'd be like, 3 in hotels, and I've come in, and you come with your backpack in, you broke up with your partner and you came in, like you came in every state, but you got to a group each week and no matter what the scale said, and you came in so determined to change. It was like this little bolt had been sent of light had been sent in because you were... You were like almost furiously determined. And that first year, I just remember watching and thinking, this girl means business. There's nothing stopping her. And you lost, what, four stone, was it, in that year?
I lost 4 stone in that year.
Yeah.
I mean, I've put together all of my certificates, right? Capturing this journey from 2017.
It's amazing.
And I put it on a board.
And it's a huge board.
It's a huge board. So, you know, if you're watching, you're probably looking at this board with all these certificates. And it's really interesting because as I got these certificates, you know, I've had 3 consultants over the last, 7 years. And there's certificates from all three, you, Lizzie, Deborah. And I remember the stories of these certificates. I remember where I was. I remember what I was going through. And that, I think, is what really shows what a journey is, because I was definitely one of those people who said, I want to lose weight, want to get it off quick, and I want to be fixed, and I want to be cured, and then I can move on with my life.
Yes.
And actually, the process that I've had to go through over the last few years is understanding about this lifestyle thing, and also celebrating things as you go, rather than waiting, I'll be happy when.
That's something we've both learned, I think, and had to learn, that you can't put your happiness into one cup, into one event. You've got to enjoy the process. And I think as soon as we both started to do that, the process became fun. Therefore, it doesn't matter how quickly you get to the outcome because you're enjoying it as it happens. And I remember very clearly this happening to you, like, actually, this is good. I'm learning to cook and I'm trying new things and I'm still living my best life. And you've made some huge lifestyle changes in that journey, but ones that you've done because you wanted to and ones that you've done because you know they'd be good for you. But also, you've enjoyed those changes. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I was thinking about what health means to me, actually. And if I'm honest, it wasn't really part of my vocabulary years ago. I think I am naturally someone who's curious. Like, I like a statistic.
Really?
What I really appreciate about Slimming World that attracted me to it was not just being a diet plan, but it's actually, you know, we get to speak to people in the nutrition team. Yeah. We're speaking to registered nutritionists. These guys have been researching, and they know the science behind what the plan is. Mm. And I feel that then with that evidence and that trust, I can just lean into that.
Yeah. But it's reassurance, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think the idea about health and, you know, mental health is often spoken about. It's hard sometimes, that is a term, mental health, but to know what it's like to live that sadness and that worry of not knowing how to fix it. And I think what I realised with Slimming World was I didn't realise how much I needed other people who got it and supported me and unlocked these new levels for me. Some of the very best friends that I have come because of Slimming World. And even when I moved home about 5 or 6 years ago, the first thing I did was find my local Slimming World group. And I made friends on that day, which I now go and see for coffee. Aww. And, you know, we have great times. And I had never, ever expected how fun, how enjoyable, how connected I would feel just by making that decision to lose weight.
It's fascinating, isn't it? And you see, I see it from the other side of the table. I watch these connections being made, and I just love seeing how people who walked into a room and knew no one, who didn't know that they needed some love from people who got it, and then you watch these relationships develop and these friendships, and actually how empowering that is and how vital that is to long-term success. Because you and I have both tried to lose weight on our own, and we know that didn't work for either of us, because actually we give up. We wouldn't get that support system, that understanding. And I think where groups have been so vital for both of us has been that it stopped us from quitting. It really has. It's kept us going on those darkest days. Because, again, another thing I remember so clearly is people be like, I need to know what happened with Claire and the boyfriend, and I need to know where Claire is. And you were invested in your life, and they'd check up on you, and they'd want to know you were okay. And actually, it becomes so much more than your weight loss journey. It becomes about you as a person. And that's why I think you've been so successful, because you plunged yourself into it. You've taken every bit you could get from it and absorbed it, and you've utilised everything you needed, and you sit here a different person because of it.
Yeah. I think when you put in, you know, what you put in is what you get out. And it's almost a little bit like, I don't know, if I went to church or something, like you go to church on a Sunday, but then what are you doing Monday to Saturday?
Yes.
How naughty are you, really?
Yeah.
But I think what really worked for me is it's what I did in between group that really allowed me to open, you know, open the knowledge kind of layers, I think.
But also you were able to fit it into your life. It wasn't like it controlled your life. You have a crazy busy life, but you could allow that food optimizing to fit in.
Yeah.
You've got some photos.
I should show you these photos.
Yes,
right? So
very brave.
I like you. I think it's about the face, isn't it? I hadn't really thought about this.
Yeah, mine's all in the face. I had skinny legs, but a big face.
This is the photo that made me join your group.
Your holiday.
So this was about 6 months before I joined your group in 2017. And I was on holiday. It was my mum's birthday, and it was a really lovely family holiday. And this wasn't me at my biggest, but I remember when I saw the photos and knowing how much my mum really enjoyed that holiday, how I looked at the photos and thought, I don't ever want to see those on the mantelpiece.
Yes.
And I think sometimes I went through about, I think it was 7 years, not having a mirror in my house.
Yeah.
Or certainly a full length one.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe
like
you brush your teeth.
Yeah, totally.
Then you start realising that you're editing all your body out of all your photos. Mm. You're standing at the back when it's group photos.
Yeah.
And it just dawned on me, like, I'm editing my life and airshopping, you know, photoshopping that airbrushing, I meant to say.
Airshopping.
I'll trademark that.
Yeah, should.
You know, editing that photo, it was a photo, I think, that actually was that kick for me. Another one here where I think it was just in my face, you know, I'm playing the kazoo here, which is never an attractive look, let's be honest. But I'm playing the kazoo and I've got my ukulele, and this was me actually playing kazoo on BBC Children in Need.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I just remember my face was so round.
That's what I see.
There was nowhere my face and my chin and my neck, they just all blurred into one.
Yeah.
And then I've also got this where I actually compared two photos next to each other. The one on the left is me on holiday, and I'm... I'm wearing a swimming costume, but I'm so disgusted with myself. I'm not even looking at the mirror.
I can see the pain in your face.
And I just don't really want to even see that photo. But I'm so glad that I did do this one photo, because I think this really shows the whole shape of my body has changed. You know, I used to tilt my pelvis. Yeah. And next to it on the right is a photo of me actually looking at the camera, doing a selfie, an amazing LBD.
Yeah.
And I remember taking this photo. I was just passing the mirror and I thought,
hello.
Hey, yes! Who's that? And I put these photos next to each other and I thought, this is about what capturing and celebrate. And I wasn't even at target weight on this photo.
How confident.
But it's how I felt on the inside.
Exactly.
And I've also got here, right, two pieces of clothing.
Oh, now I remember both of these very clearly.
Okay, right. So first piece of clothing. I should have took them off the hanger, really, shouldn't I? This is never good. Right, watch that one.
This is like Blue Peter.
This is a massive blue dress, which I'm just going to hold up. And this is the dress that I used to wear when I went for weighing.
Yeah.
And you can see it's massive. I remember bought it off Instagram because I didn't go into shops. Yeah. I never used to shop in shops because I was in denial of what size I was. And I wore leggings all the time. And I used to go in and weigh with this. And as I got smaller, I got a belt.
Yes.
But I always used to weigh in the same dress. I know a lot of people like to do that. But when I was on that real focus year with you.
Oh, I remember this
and
dress.
And I was losing, on my way for the 4 stone loss. I bought, actually, maybe it was the year after. I think maybe it was on the way to the 4.5 stone. But I got the tickets to the Spice Girls concert in the Etihad Stadium down the road. And I wanted to go as Jerry Spice because I like having ginger hair now and again. And I bought this dress, but it was only available in a size small. And so I hung it up on my wardrobe and it just allowed me something else to focus on to get through that next bit of the journey.
And what did you do with that dress? I've got a picture of you weighing in at my group in that dress.
I did.
8 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Yes, and we realised how short it was.
But again, it's that inner confidence that came out. Like, can you imagine before the weight loss journey buying that microscopic dress? It would have never have happened. Like, it's amazing to see what happens when you shed that weight. It really, and it sounds so cliche, but I remember feeling like the burden had been lifted. I could walk into a room and be like, I'm Anna. You take it and you leave it. Whereas before, I would have scoured the room and where people were judging me. It's really weird to sit back and look, isn't it? When you've come so far, you sometimes forget who you were at that point. I know it's taken me a lot to look at these pictures, but it's quite a good thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a reminder, isn't it? I mean, I think back when I first joined Swimming World, I was a meat eater. I was eating dairy. I was drinking. I was single. Now things have changed where I've been sober for 6.5 years. I have come off all depression medication and I've had that supporter with talking therapy. I'm vegan and I'm now married and I finally own my own house.
Oh.
So, you know, where I was when I came through the doors, a very lost person, really.
Yeah.
I've not really sure where I was going and what I was doing, and just having that structure of going to something every single week, of walking through the doors and having people ask how you are and be, you know, open enough to actually listen to what the response is, as opposed to you pretending, letting me cry in front of people that I barely knew, but them nodding their head and understanding. That was, they were sound like small things, but they were just those seeds that I needed in order for me to have, you know, the flowing garden that I've got today.
Oh, you should be very proud of yourself. You've come a really long way. And I think it's a really important thing to reflect, because to see, I've been so privileged to watch that change and watch what I see in you more than anything is how kind you are to yourself. Because when you walked in my door, you were a person that hated yourself, spoke to yourself so badly. And now to see that confidence, I'm really proud of you.
Oh, thanks. And obviously we met a group, didn't we? And
we did. We went across a weigh table, didn't we, darling? You leaned over and you went, do you want to do a podcast?
And that was before podcasts were cool, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I found this.
What's this?
Now, this is a photo of a post-it note. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
But I found the post-it note that I wrote when we first wanted to start this podcast.
Oh my gosh. At your kitchen table, how different the kitchen table
we
is
did.
Now, loves. Yeah?
We did our first Swimming World podcast. in December 2018, and we weren't quite sure of what it was going to be or where it was going to take us. We said, let's just put out a podcast every Monday, because that seems to be when most people want to start, the line and start a diet. And we'll just see what happens. And now, you know, we're celebrating over 11 million listens. We're here doing a YouTube podcast. We've got members-only bonus content.
So we've got a crew.
We've done a podcast every single week since December 2018.
Mad, isn't it?
So here's what we wanted to do when we started. We put here, Slimmer World Food for Thought Podcast. We offer spoonfuls of motivation to help keep you on track to achieving the weight loss you really want. Be the person you've always dreamed of being.
Oh, it's what happened. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So it was interesting to go back to where we were when we did our first ever podcasts, which were called Anna's Story and Claire's Story. But yet so many things have changed from when we did those episodes 200, 300 something podcasts
ago. The drama we have been through. The drama that has happened in our lives over that time. But do you know what is been consistent in both our lives, Slimming World and our weight loss journey? Even in all that tumultuous times, that's really stood us the test of time, hasn't it? Because we've just kept that as a focus. It's really helped me in the difficult times. I know it's helped you.
Yep, yep. And I suppose the one thing that we have always been is real.
Oh, gosh. Too real sometimes. But yeah, because do you know what? I firmly believe if I'd heard someone like us talking to me as a teenager or a young adult and kept it as real as it is, it may have helped to lift the burden that I'd felt, because I felt so isolated. I felt like I had all slim friends who never got it. And actually, I needed someone to understand the binge eating Anna, the Anna that literally was going out in elasticated waist because that's all that fitted. So I think it's really important that you do keep it real, because then you can lift that burden from someone else.
Right, we are going to continue this real theme, and we're going to look at real food next week. We're going to go into, for those of you who don't know already, that food optimizing plan. A little bit of insight if you join Slimming World, what that would look like. And for those of you already members, then just a reminder of how are you making the most of the plan. Yeah, we've got some fun things to share, and maybe something might even appear in my oven.
Oh, hello. That's a promise.
Right. Whatever you get up to this week, obviously have a great Christmas. Look, we're here every Monday over the next few weeks on YouTube as well. So if you fancy mixing it up, you normally listen to us on your dog walk or at the gym, then do pop over and watch the YouTube channel if you like.
You could watch us at the gym, the treadmill.
Yes, they could.
You could.
Safety first.
Yeah, okay, please, no dogs or cats or humans be harmed in the watching of our YouTube. Yeah.
All right, we will share some behind the scenes photos of us as well, because I'm sure you're very nosy about what it really looks like in my kitchen. And we'll be back next Monday. Have a terrific Christmas. See you in a bit.
Bye for now.